the first thing I'll say is the Odyssey is great. Christopher Nolan's Odyssey is fantastic. And it's so nice having a big cultural event that you get, you know, that draws people out about something that you can know about. Any one of us can go and see the Odyssey. There's only one thing that we all have to go and know about in the culture at the moment. It's Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. That's what all the hubbub is about. That's the big picture. Some people went to go and see The Backrooms. Some people, maybe they go to see The Busboys. It's a fragmented cultural landscape. Not that many people went to go and see Busboys. But it's like, that's what everybody's talking about. Hey, I'm jumping on board it too. Everybody's talking about The Odyssey. And you get to see who is an idiot. I mean, there are just people who have really like mind-bogglingly dumb things to say. By all means, say dumb things about it before it comes out. That's a bit exciting. Who doesn't like being snarky about a trailer? Why is there a trans man? Why is there a Chinese? Why is there an Indian? Why? These people are meant to be Greek. Matt Damon. Black Helen of Troy. Why? You know, this sort of thing. Hey, by all means, have your fun. But then the movie comes out and then people double down. I've seen people doubling down going, it is woke, Tosh. And I go, oh, you are an idiot. You're an idiot. And it's great. I will now be talking about it. It's just so nice to see it, to have the commentary. I mean, this must have been happening on a weekly basis in the 1960s, 1970s. You mean, hey, Star Wars just came out. Hey, Jaws just came out. Hey, The Shining just came out. Hey, Deep Throat, baby. My Dinner with Andre. I don't even know if these were all in the 1970s. I suspect not. Excuse me, I'm fighting off a cough. I'll be coughing throughout. Could edit it out, won't. It's just one. It's like one movie that's out this year that people have to have an opinion about. It's opinion worthy level, and it's The Odyssey. And go and see it by all means. Okay. By all means, kill a man if you have to do it, but go and see The Odyssey. But it's nice that. It's sort of a standard. It's a norm. It's a litmus test. You know, I've seen that now. A lot of the time I see people commenting on things in the commentariat, and you think, oh, that's an interesting take on something that I don't know very much about. There's a talking head over there who has something to say about, I don't know, the Department of Transportation, and why shouldn't I believe what they say? It buys into all of my prejudices. I am on their side. Because I don't know about the Department of Transportation, right? But I know about The Odyssey because I watched it with my eyes in a cinema. And so when that same person who's saying something about the Department of Transportation, I go, oh, that's interesting. Then they go and say something about The Odyssey that is crazy. I can go, hey, you know what? This guy is an idiot. All of these people are insane. I know what I'm talking about. And we're talking about the same thing. And you could know what you're talking about for the price of admission. I loved it. I'm just going to talk about it. Everybody else is talking about it. Why shouldn't I? Matt Damon is great. Anne Hathaway has had just the right level of plastic surgery. Just the right level to still be hot and also look old without looking all that weird. Anne Hathaway was magnificent. Zendaya might have had enough Zendaya. I watched the previews of this thing. We got a Spider-Man, new Spider-Man coming out. Zendaya's in it. And you go, wow, Zendaya, she looks like she's going to be good in that movie. We got a new Dune coming out. Who's in that with Zendaya? Oh, yeah, Zendaya. She's, you know what I'm saying? Oh, wasn't she in that Robert Pattinson rom-com indie? Yeah, it's another Zendaya. Oh, she's in this one too. Zendaya. I've written a poem about it. I'll do it later. It's not important. My point is, Zendaya, you know, if we weren't in a culture of mass Zendaya, she'd be fine. I mean, where to start? The multiracial casting. I'll address all the prejudices and the issues that things talk about. Things talk about? People talk, you know. Hey, well, a sophisticated man using words like this. Who wouldn't want to know what he has to say about Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey? The woke, DEI, whatever, multiracial casting works really well. because it allows you to know more or less who is who in Odysseus's crew. This is what is not being said that must be said, is that we go with the same crew in his boat over and over again for, you know, well over an hour in the picture. It's these same guys. And, that, you know, they have a little line here and there, but there's not a lot of time for them to have a personality because everyone sort of runs away from a giant the same way. Everybody sort of turns into a pig when they eat the witch slop the same way. Everybody is scared of a cyclops and being eaten in the same way. And what is nice about having an Indian one and a Chinese one and a bald one is just an immediate visual indicator of who has been who, and that, you know, rather than just having a mass of people who look the same, I'm watching it and you go, oh, the Asian one's going to the side, the Asian one's over the side of the boat, I remember the Asian one. Oh no, the Indian one's dying, that was his buddy, the Indian one. If they were all just guys who looked, you know, Greek, you go like, I guess that's another Greek. I guess another greasy Greek has lost his way as Matt Damon heads home, you know? It's nice to be able to differentiate them by all their different races because they're not given a lot to do and it gives them a little personality. Aha. Aha, the Asian one. Aha, the Greek. Aha, the Indian. Aha, Matt Damon. Really enjoyed that part of it. I didn't have a problem with that at all. Here's another thing I'll say, which I think might be important on a bigger meta level. The Trojans are all just the same race. They're all white. I think, I'll watch it again and I'll come to an understanding about that, but I believe that the Trojans are all white. And the, you know, their faces are all black, but there is a level of homogeneity to the Trojans that's not true of the Greeks. Greeks are very diverse, but the Trojans aren't. So some point is being made there, right? Like if you just wanted a fully diverse film, all the Trojans would be diverse, but it's actually just the Greeks. It's just the Greeks. Also, I think there's not as much diversity on Ithaca. Could be wrong. Could be wrong. Look forward to watching that back and thinking about it. But it's specifically, it's the crew and it's on the beach, it's those the Greeks. And it's really a good point being made there about how disparate separate, the Achaeans, the Greeks are. This is a multi-culti project. The Ithacans are not Spartans. The Spartans are not Athenians. They're all very different. Although, they would all... actually, now that I think about it, all the people on Odysseus' boat would be Ithacans, and they would all be multi-culti, so that, you know, multi-racy. So that doesn't work at all. Excuse me. I take it back. You see what I've done? I've had an opinion. I've thought about it. I've taken it back. If only some other people would do the same about this picture. The trans... I'll get to that. There's something about... There's some sense... One doesn't know how much... a basedness to attribute to Christopher Nolan, because there are so many things in the film that you could go, like the Trojans are the good guys. The Trojans, they have, you know, they accept the gift, they welcome them in, they don't play a nasty trick, they're just trying to defend themselves. They don't break, they don't rupture Zeus's law and destroy the world. Underlying thing, and they're racially homogeneous. So, like, is Nolan making some point there? Probably not. That's the, over and over again, you go, with the trans thing, people go, how dare Elliot Page be cast? This is gross and wrong. And then people on the right go, oh, this Nolan man, he's playing a 4D, 5D, 6D chess because it's Elliot Page, Juno person, is like tricky and being tricked and is like sort of pitiful, and it's like, ah, that's what the trans movement does to people. That's the wheel within a wheel read. It's like, ah, someone who's been ruined and tricked and hurt by the trans ideology, and it's heartbreaking. I don't know Christopher Nolan personally, but there are quite a lot of things along the way where you go, hey, you know, if you want to have a hey moment, Christopher Nolan's going to give them to you. I think of, there's a David Foster Wallace essay where he writes about late life Richard Pryor being used in a movie. I'm going to forget the name of the movie, but it's a David Lynch movie. And it's David Foster Wallace going, he's being used as a spectacle and something that's spooky, not for Richard Pryor as he was, but he's been cast for Richard Pryor as he is now to communicate what Richard Pryor, and it's difficult to look at. And is that right to use Richard Pryor in this way? And does he know he's using? I mean, that's a little bit the way it feels about the actor who goes by Elliot Page. That's how I feel. You go, oh, that's a choice. That's not a blandishment. Something might be happening there. Same with Tom Holland, a husband, I understand, of Zendaya, and also the Spider-Man, where he's kind of weak sauce. He's weak sauce, but then he is weak sauce in the picture. He's meant to be weak sauce. He's been well cast in that way. Like Paul Dano might have been going a bit too far because we still have to like the guy, but at no point does Telemachus ever really, like, you go, oh, he's got this, it's fine, because he's not meant to. Ah, let me get to what I mean. It's Oppenheimer. It's about the nuclear bomb again. Christopher Nolan is, and I feel like I do know this, I don't know about the based-ism, I couldn't really care. What he is interested in is the decline of a civilization that's done something unforgivable. And unforgivable in the sense that it's destroyed itself with its mistake. So in this case, you know, Odysseus comes home and there are all these suitors there. And spoiler alert, he's got to butcher them. Which, by the way, I think would be a better ending to the television program, The Bachelorette, than the current version. You know, at the moment, they dwindle off one by one. And then one of them marries the Bachelorette. But I'd like it if, rather than being picked off one by one, if they all just stayed until the end and then a man came in the house and killed these men. I think that would be a better show. Sad for the men, of course, and not at all helpful for the lady, but a much, much better program, I believe. Yeah. Odysseus, he doesn't want to go to war, okay? He's a brilliant man. He's the ripest fruit of a great civilization, of the attributes that the Greeks prize themselves upon. You know yourself. Shrewd, he's cunning, small against the mighty, overcoming. He's the man. He's archetypal Greek, fantastic, you know, Ithaca being the Greece of Greece, this small little outcrop of exaggerated importance from its size. And in desperation to get home to his family, he comes up with this Trojan horse ploy, this trick, this contravention of the rules of war, and in doing so, destroys the world. And again, a lot of it's ahistorical, a lot of it's not in the Odyssey, the book. The book, the song, it's not in there. But clearly the Trojan horse is the nuclear bomb. It's this thing that really shouldn't... How do you live with yourself after you do that? And the effects that reverberate from that, and how Matt Damon, as Odysseus, learns to more or less live with himself having won the war but having become the monster. That's fundamentally what the picture is about. I'm saying it's about him being scarred by the horrors of war. I don't know about that. kind of the horrors of his personal existential war. Yes, he's out to save the men that he's going home with. He doesn't seem to really... He, less than everybody else in it, Odysseus doesn't care about the fallen men. He goes, now's not the time to bury them. We'll bury them later. All right, we're moving on. Everyone else is more sentimental about it than he is. And when the men try and wrest control from him and question his decisions, it's often because he's it's imprudent early on when he levels a shot. So he has passion. He's not inhuman. There's enough there for us to like him. But over and over again, he's like, no, look, we'll bury him later. We've got things to do. That seems to be what he says. Well, we'll focus on that when the time is right. As in opposition to other people who are urging him to give them a proper burial or whatever. The point here just being, he doesn't seem especially hung up on the wanting to preserve the lives of his men. What is like the difficult thing that he realizes on the beach? The men have become pigs. The men have become monsters. He's done this thing to win the war. He doesn't like it. Everyone else is going through the city of Troy, all of his own men, you know, butchering the women and the children and the fellas and cutting the heads off his statues and whatever. And he's watching it sort of passively. He's figured out how to hack the war, how to breach the rules of hospitality to triumph in a conflict. And it's been civilizationally ruinous. And it's civilizationally ruinous in that it's ruinous for the souls of the people he's serving with. And you sense that he's alien. I think we've all had that. Man, watching him walk through Troy, it's this scene where it's like, if you've ever been sober, walking through a music festival and going, what the fuck is wrong with these people? Like, that's the, when you're walking through town, people, and you go, you are so separate to what everybody else is feeling. Excuse me. Or at a political rally where you don't buy into it, it's the individual again. He cannot give. He's too shrewd. He's too knowing. On some level, he's aware that what he's done to the Greeks will destroy them. And it takes him years after that to figure that out. And there's a lot of displacement in figuring out. You know, he's sickened by Agamemnon. He doesn't want anything to do with him. That's why he doesn't take the route home with him. It's a really good movie. It's a complicated. It's a movie you could dig into. I'm going to watch it again. There's so much going on there. It's well acted. The battle scenes are very, very gripping. Robert Pattinson is a delight. Just the right side of... Actually, there are a lot of blacks. Yes, okay. There's a lot of... Ithaca's a real racial hodgepodge. Yep. All right, there we go. Maybe just Ithaca. Maybe the other Greeks aren't a racial hodgepodge. I don't know. I'm looking forward to going back and finding it out. But I think it's just the people of Ithaca that seem to be racially all over the place. And trans. And Achilles is not in it. It doesn't extol glory. There's no room for that. Christopher Nolan doesn't consciously do that. Of course, subconsciously... Is that even the word we want? Is subconsciously even the word we want? It's like the movie Kingdom of Heaven, which is like an anti-violence movie. People say it's an anti-Christian movie, whatever. The images are too strong. Like, the thing people remember is it's Silver Mask and the hand going up. And it's like, yes, bring back another crusade. The aesthetic overpowers the message. And I think in many ways that's the case here as well, because the action is just... so beautifully done, and we love the violence. We can't get enough of that. We wouldn't show up if there was no violence. If the movie ended with that third act, you'd say it actually did have some pacing problems. And for a movie about, well, I can't stop coughing. All right. This is my first. I'll watch it again. I'll have some more thoughts. But it's... I can't. I mean, I think Christopher Nolan probably was in London before, and now he's in Los Angeles. And you would, in either of those places, you'd have to look around, and you'd think, oh, this was a once great place, and it is just not even up for discussion that it's in decline. that rules and decency and blah, 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 blah. It's out the window. And so I think that possesses him, and he's tying sort of, do you want to say decadence? He could do more with decadence if he wanted, and he doesn't. He opts not to do that. But decline, weakness, the next generation not living up to the previous one, and he ties this obviously to, you know, Trojan horse, nuclear bomb. I mean, it's just so. I don't know. Everyone, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. All right, here's a song. Here's a song that goes for a minute. On my mind right now, it's chubbies. I think they're men's shorts, and they are so bright. I can't stop thinking right now about how bright and colorful they are. Summer is here. Well, you know what it means when summer's here. Sun shining, the pool calls, and time to get the thighs out. And there's no better shorts, apparently, for summer than the chubbies. You know, I bet they feel great, dangerously good. And a stretch, comfort. I mean, these are all the words that I would associate with shorts that I personally can't say enough positive things about during the course of this advertisement. And, yes, 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 yes. Fit, feel, chubbies, chubbies, chubbies. They're called chubbies. Whether you're getting dressed for your work day, a workout, or a summer vacation, Chubbies has you covered. For a limited time, Chubbies is giving our listeners / viewers, there's not a lot to view for this podcast, 20% off their order with our code CATAMARAN at chubbiesshorts.com. That's code CATAMARAN at chubbiesshorts.com. Support our show and tell them we sent you. Don't blend in with the crowd. Stand out with Chubbies. And here is a poem. Now that that's over, here's a poem I've written about Zendaya. We suspect that we have probably had quite enough Zendaya now. It's not that she's done something wrong, but all Zendayas run their course out in the dunes and Spider-Man, and then the Christopher's Nolan. We think that she has also been in other things as well, and overflow now, having supped so very much of our Zendaya. No one's fault, least of all that sweet girl woman who has been, oh, such a decent, such a charming sort of actress type of person, who has never overborne with without one blemish, race, nor scandal, age, sex, power, thought, opinion, welcomed cleansing of the palate betwixt the Jennifer Lawrence teen and Jennifer Lawrence MILF emergent. I'll have to delay this podcast coming out today because I am going to go and see The Odyssey. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I am going to go and see it tomorrow with the cast of the movie that I'm making and some of the, you know, the crew. And so I don't want them to know. I mean, we're all going to go and do it together. So I've kind of ruined that by, I'm just not going to tell them. I'm not going to have this come out until we've all watched it together, and then it can come out, and then I can say, listen, that was the second time I've seen it, and I really wanted to see it again. And perhaps I'll scramble to take this down or upload another thing of my thoughts about it, but it's so nice having something you can dig into. There's so much to think about and so much to say, and it looks so beautiful.
And, you know, everyone needs a take on it. But thank you, Christopher Nolan, for making something great. I'll move on. We're making this movie. Hey, James, how's your movie going? Nothing about someone else's movie. How's your movie going? It is, wow, a treat, a pleasure, a joy. A frustration, a question, an answer, resolve. I'm having a great time. It is, there's just, you're putting out little fires everywhere all the time. And keeping a thousand things in the mind. And in that sense, it's actually not a world apart from stand-up comedy, where there's just a lot, there's a lot to think about. except that you've also got people to help you, so you can do more, but then you have to think about them also. There is something to be said for, in stand-up, or I guess in writing, or even in doing this podcast in my bedroom now. There's an element where you stand alone, and it's a whole different skill. I'm really enjoying working with other people. I'm trying to get better at it. Not so much better that I would put off going to see The Odyssey on my own in the cinema. I think I'm watching it on a bigger screen. We better get the tickets. Bloody hell. I mean, I was just alone. I was alone on the road. I haven't been alone on the road in a long time, with a whole lot of new things to unpack and try. I mean, I love it. If I'm being honest with myself, I love turning up in a city without what I want to say on stage really figured out. I mean, it's worse for the audience. It's for me not to know. But it's better for me. I feel so alive figuring out, adding tags and making things click together. And you just have to do it over and over again. I did some shows in Adelaide the other week. And again, I'm sure I will be burning the Adelaide, or eventually there'll be no one in Adelaide who wants to come and see me, because it would have been bad over and over and over and over and over again. But hopefully there's enough people to burn. But it eventually gets going. But I love that early stage of work in progress, figuring it out. It makes me really happy. You never get more ideas. It makes me happy, but then also my body does this weird thing where I have to lie down after. It doesn't happen if I know the act, but if I'm working on new stuff, by the end of the second hour, I've got like sharp pains all over. I think my abdominal muscle, my ribs are tensing or something. Something weird happens to the body. Anyway, it's a joy. That's just a little bit of Jimmy sharing Jimmy stuff. What else is going on? I mean, so much is going on. I'm falling behind on all this paperwork, and that's why there's no visual component. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten the podcast. I'm thinking of what the next tranche of the podcast is, and I think it's getting ready for my movie to come out. So it's building up that. You know, how many hours of this podcast can be devoted to me saying what's going to be happening in the podcast in the future, and then that not happening? I don't know, but it seems like an awful lot. But in a moment, I will have to conclude this podcast, and then I'm going out to meet with Margot, who's doing art direction on the film, and my father, who's doing a scene, and we've got to get a costume for him because we're shooting the first bit of footage that they're doing quite soon. And I think we're down to just one or two important parts that we haven't got the person locked in yet. I must call John Cruikshank today. Telephone call coming for John Cruikshank right now. He'll be good. Don't yet know where, but he'll be good. All right. I love you. I miss you. I want you. I need you. We'll do a discussion about that. Anyway. I love you. I miss you. I want you. I need you. Catamaran ho. Goodbye.